The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Well, just about, just gone. Having problems with streaming software here. And it's taking stock. And we'll be looking at the movers and groovers. Talking about groovers, John is live in London City wearing a groovy T-shirt. You all right, Johnny?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I'm in a corridor.
Oh, nice.
I'm in a corridor in a service shared office.
Is that why you put a funky T-shirt on?
That's right, yeah. It's all hanging out with all the hipsters.
Yeah, getting all the kids. Yeah, I'm down with the kids. Yeah, look at my groovy T-shirt. All right. Welcome, everyone. By the way, 1st of November. Hopefully now, start of two seasonal good months for the markets. Hopefully, fingers crossed. And so I thought I'd ask, you know, it's always worth looking at this. I've been reading about this a lot. And I've studied a lot. I've done spreadsheets on it a lot. Diversification. And in fact, Michael did comment, but he retracted that. And he said, are you drunk, Justin? That doesn't even make sense. Diversification, basically, is just adding stocks that are not going to add to your reward. And in fact, it could increase your risk. So it's almost like saying, how many stocks do you have? That's what I want to ask you in a roundabout way. If you're watching right now, haven't commented before, don't forget, hit that like, subscribe. By all means, subscribe. But comment. Let me know, how many stocks do you hold? Because I've always kept a sort of concentrated portfolio. And I thought, you know, there aren't hundreds of excellent ideas out there. And I thought, why go for your 10th best idea when you could just have five very good ones, you know? And if you want to diversify, get a fund. So I think it's for a part-time investor, someone who's got a job doing something else, it's hard to keep a track on lots of stocks, you know? I find that, and I'm on it all the time. I find, you know, more than 5-10 stocks is hard work. Johnny, how much have you got? How many have you got altogether? Individual
eight,
stocks.
Eight, of which one is an investment trust. So seven.
So you've got seven individuals and then, and one fund, yeah.
Yeah, but I do intend to have more. It's just that I've been holding back because, as you know, I've held the view that markets are not getting any better or haven't, you know, weren't likely to get any better. So I've been holding back. I haven't really piled in yet. I'd sort of aim to get sort of 12, 13, 14.
Yeah. No, I think that, and in this market, discipline, holding back is the thing. We are swimming against the current. It's almost like, you know, trying to go into surfing when there's no wave. There's no point putting the board in the water, you know, board equaling cash. There's no point. You're not going to catch a wave. If you do, it'll go down very quickly. If you know, you know. So there are certain opportunities out there. Yes, of course, longer term. But I mean, it is like paddling against the current a little bit. So I just think sometimes it's all about allocation of capital, isn't it? If, you know, your effective allocation of capital. Are you better off just putting in a savings account or a bond or whatever for a while? Or can you find, you know, an investment that you think will return more than that? Because at the moment, what are you getting? If you put it in a money market fund or something, you get 5-6%, and you...
Well, precisely, that is a massive headwind for equities at the moment. I guess the other question is where is your cash? So, you know, my cash
back
is... my cash is within a SIP. So okay. I can't extract it anyway, you know. Yeah. I can't do anything with that cash except, as you say, put it in investments that are traded on some kind of market, or just leave it as cash because, you know, that does generate a little bit of interest as well. So given that I can't take that cash out and do anything, I can't worry about that inflation problem and the value of that cash being eroded. So I have to let the cash sit there because I'd rather, it was safe and ready to use when I needed it. And you know, as I said, I think that the inflationary environment is opposite to what we've had on the markets, which is deflationary. Share prices have been going down.
Yeah, exactly. So by all means, you know, like, subscribe, comment. How many stocks do you hold, please? And don't forget, download the Vox Markets app. It's free, but priceless, I tell you. This is the markets at the moment. Nothing's really moving. I suppose we're on hold a little bit. The Bank of England, you know, announced their decision tomorrow on interest rates. It's largely expected to be on a hold, as with the Fed.
Yeah.
And then I think targets are around about sort of, you know, second half of next year, they'll be coming down. So that hopefully the market will sort of price that in. I do still think there's a sound of bounce on the way. Next is up, though. They've guidance next. Do you know what they do?
Yeah,
well,
fabulous numbers.
I know, yeah. Centrica, I think, was upgraded by a broker or something recently. But yeah, AIM All Share. In fact, it's suffering the least. And we nearly had 4 days on a trot here in the AIM All Share. In fact, someone asked us to look at TCAP yesterday. I don't know much about it. I know Paul holds a bit of it.
Oh, it's a big broker. They did all right, actually. They've done well in sort of commodity trading.
Okay. I mean, look at that. Downhill broke a bit of a resistance there, but it's now sort of struggling a little bit. And that's the story of the market, isn't it? You're getting these bounces, what, back in August last year. And then all of a sudden, now look at that, a lower high, and it's seemingly no trend there. But yeah, let's look at AIM for a second. AIM all share, indices, AIM. Look at that. We were nearly on for a fourth day in a row. Didn't quite make it. Never mind. Never mind. It's hardly a big rally, is it? But let's have a look. So P6 Jedi says 16. 16. Simon Evans, C200. What? You've got 200 stocks?
No.
Are you kidding me, Simon? No,
no one's got 200 stocks, surely.
But it's not including funds now, Simon. I'm talking about individual stocks. I have six individuals. I have a fund which holds about 50 stocks. Steve, 18. Tom, 14. Ben, why did you invest in Anglin Direct, John? he's in a quarter winner there. He may have caught a winner. Here's the thing, see, a lot of cash.
I just think it's
at a low, they're quite cheap relatively, and the momentum is looking good in the chart.
Yeah,
so, John, you answer it.
Sitting on a lot of cash. Yeah, which means, you know, on a sort of EV to sales basis, an EV to anything basis, you know, a cash adjusted PE just looks really cheap. And, you know, it's got a dominant position in its market. The numbers were great. Europe's been a bit of a laggard there, but, you know, there's signs that that's recovering. So, yeah, and I know nothing about fishing. So,
we are. Perfect. Well, it's a good time to learn now, isn't it?
I'm still not going to learn anything about fishing. It could be anything. They could be selling anything.
I'd be hilarious if you literally just start stocking up on fish and tackle. Loaded up for fish and tackle. Everyone buy John something from the Angling Direct for Christmas. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to take up fishing. It's not really for me. But you know, I say that I know nothing about fishing. I know that it's becoming a very popular sport. You know, it's high profile fans. You know, I think there's a lot of people watch older, you know, what's his name, Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer doing their bit of fishing.
Yeah, I like
that. Fergal Sharkey likes a bit of fishing and clean rivers. Yeah. It is becoming a very popular sport. It's huge on the continent, which is why I think there's recovery potential there. But what I do like, and as you may have guessed by the t-shirt, that's Kraftwerk, is electronic music. But that doesn't mean I'd buy gear for music. Very different metrics behind the two businesses, and I know a lot about that sort of stuff.
Kraftwerk, you're into Kraftwerk, are you?
Yes, mate.
What was their big hit, Kraftwerk?
Robots.
How did you go?
The model.
Oh, Tour de France. The model, and I'm looking. That's the one.
Autobahn.
It's Angling Direct. There, look. It needs. It didn't close above that level there. But I mean, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. I mean, it may have to go in a little range for a while because it's had a bit of a rally, but, you know, maybe a little range, but it needs to get above that, you know, 39, 40 pence. That's off to the races, off to the...
This will come in time. And, you know, I don't take massive positions to start with. I sort of have a little dabble, see what happens. If things, you know, look up, I'll buy some more.
Yeah, 38 across two accounts, that's dagger. Michael, 40, but includes seven funds. What? Really?
There's been a lot of studies about this. It's, you know, diminishing benefits of diversification the more shares you hold.
Yeah.
And you've got to make sure they don't give you exposure to the same sort of underlying trends, you know, whether that's sort of economic cyclicality, business cycle or whatever. So it just makes it harder to make sure you're not sort of doubling up on exposures when you have that many shares. It's particularly true of funds, actually. If you have multiple funds, say you've got multiple UK funds, you might find they all hold the same stocks.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I mean, duplication. But 40 includes seven. Let's see who can beat that. Anyone else? Rich P, still way too many. 59, but still can't sell the lows, can I? I know what you're saying. I mean, I would say genuinely, you don't need more than 10. If you're going for more than 10, go for a fund. It's very hard to keep track of 10 companies properly, to research them properly. And if you want diversification, get a low-cost, well-diversified fund. And if you are into small macro-caps and nano-caps, get a big fund. You know, sort of if you're in equities, a fund, and generally they only hold big companies, but there is, big funds. So
there is another problem when you hold a lot of stocks. And, you know, and I'm assuming that you know, we're not all millionaires. So, you know, not everyone is investing, you know, very large portfolios. So if you've got, you know, 60 stocks and your portfolio is only worth, say, a quarter of a million, and it's only worth a quarter of a million, the amount you've got in each of those stocks is going to be relatively small. You know, I used to see it when I was at the Investors Chronicle, we used to do a thing called Portfolio Clinic, and you'd, you'd get some portfolios sitting in that had very, very large numbers of holdings, but some of those holdings were so small that, you know, whether, even if they doubled, they barely did anything for the portfolio.
Yeah, they won't move the needle at all.
No.
And there's no point having them. In fact, let me just share some of these. You've got to understand, if you have more stocks, yes, it reduces the risk. It can depend on what stocks you own, but it also reduces the reward as well. So you've got to be aware of that. And in fact, let me just bring this spreadsheet up. I've got this, diversification there. I'll just show you this, right? And this is something I put together. But if you look at this, it's the number of stocks you hold. Let's say you hold 100, okay? And one of the stocks drops by 100%, you only lose 1%, of course. But if you 10 bag that stock, 100, you've only made 10%. If you hold, say, all those stocks with equal weighting, you're only going to make 10%. Now, if you've got a 10-bagger, you want more reward than that. So, you know, that's an extreme. Of course, holding one is extreme. If one goes bust, 100% loss. But then you get 1,000% of your 10-bag. So somewhere in the middle, maybe, and then have a fund would help. But yeah. I wouldn't have anywhere. I would say, if you're having sort of, you know, like literally 50 stocks, it's going to be hard. I'm not still understanding waiting on them, but it's going to be hard to really, you know, move the needle, on rewards.
There's a balance to be struck. So, you know, my view is that diversification is not just holding lots of stocks, but it's potentially, it's more holding stocks that do different things and give you different exposures in different areas that might perform differently at different times. It's asset allocation, portfolio construction, which is what delivers returns over time. Maybe not the super racy returns that, you know, sometimes, you know, particularly small cap investors hope to get, but certainly diversification, asset allocation across a broad range of asset classes and geographies is where returns come from over time.
But if you have lots and lots of stocks now, and somewhere at the low of the market, this is an exercise for you, okay? Pick out your favorite stock, the one you research the most, the one you're most confident on. Keep that. That's number one, okay? Then go across and do that. And then when you get to sort of 10, the rest of them, just think about selling. Do you don't know much about them, or they haven't got much better? There's no point holding them. There's no point holding them, honestly. But you're better off putting that money into your best favorite stock that you think has the best potential, as long as you're over it.
Yeah, I think there's a limit. I mean, that's conviction investing. I think you can still have 10 to 15 stocks that you hold with high conviction. There's enough good ideas out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't go about 10. I find 10 stocks hard to keep a look at. I mean, I don't have a confidence in 10 stocks that I can hold. Okay, let's go down quickly. Look at that. We'll go back to the comments. Please keep commenting. I don't forget to like and subscribe as well. Most followed, Quantum, Boyle. What a ticker that is. I don't understand why people are following Boyle there. I mean, where is Boyle at the moment? Because it fell off a cliff. And let's have a look. Barren Oil. Boyle.
There you go. It's rising.
It doesn't look good there. But,
but there's a little spike up at the end there. You know, people are attracted to moving prices.
Upland's an interesting chart. I mean, Upland's still most followed again, open for, if you missed out on that big rise. But if you look at the chart here, it's very interesting because you're back in this range now. And even these last two days, like I said, I drew this line, several days ago, or weeks ago, right? And it's still at that level there of 2.72. It's hit that twice and can't get above it. So now we're back in that range.
I mean, I think the interesting thing is here is how that was able to happen. I think there's some serious questions that need answering here.
Yeah. By the way, cab payments are out of bounds. I looked more into those, and they are literally. I don't understand why they come to the market so highly valued, but they are in sort of emerging markets, currencies, all that stuff. Yeah.
It's big.
But CABP, it's had a little bounce. It's a like that. I mean, from where we are, it's come from like literally 46 to 62, and that's a 50% pretty much, or close to. You know, so that's the balance there. But as I said, the falling knife trade, you've got to wait. There's that thing. If you're going for falling knife trade, it's a 3 days, isn't it? Wait 3 days. People sometimes say, I'm not into the falling knife trade because more often than not, it goes wrong. But, you know, don't jump in straight away. Okay, Destiny's up. Look at that. Destiny's up, John. One of the most followed.
There you go.
There's been some big... I don't understand what's going on here. I looked today, the volume for a non-news day, and if you go on Vox, scroll down, today someone's just come in and started buying lots. And I think, what's going on here? And literally 5,000, 10,000, 5,000, 5,000, and literally round figures of 10,000, 5,000, 10,000. I thought, who's doing this?
Tells you a lot about what moves share prices, and it's volume. You know, that's why the UK market is on its knees. Just flows have been going the other way.
Look at that. Destiny, look, breaking above that some of previous resistance there. But some volume coming in there. I think, what is that? That is bigger volume than normal on no news. And I always keep an eye on volume. It's different between, by the way, you know, net demand and net supply. Of course, you often get in a downtrend net sellers whenever you get bounce up, and that's why this is price action. I could talk for ages about that. But okay, front page. Creo Medical, Oxford Metrics. That's quite
acquisition.
Yeah.
So they put in some very nice numbers the other day, but this is interesting. It's machine. Well, it's machine. It's basically, obviously, Oxford Metrics through its Vicon division does the sort of image sensing. It's sort of special effects, that sort of stuff
on production. Well, anything
life sciences, any kind of analysis of movement through video.
I look at the thing. So basically, got all this kind of stuff, all these really close sensor medical pharma solutions. Yeah. Anything that's moving in production, these sensors can tell you exactly. It's AI basically.
It's basically robotics. It's basically robotics, but using visual robotics. Put it that. Call it something like that. And you know, whereas you would have had sort of human beings testing, inspecting to make sure products were up to scratch. Certainly in industries like medical and food, particularly important. This is a business that is doing video and video analysis and increasingly artificial intelligence. So it's a good bolt-on deal that takes IMG Oxford Metrics into another area.
Yeah, in fact, I was looking at this one because it's a very interesting level, because you can see here's previous support there at this level, 91 pence. It's hit that today and come back down. But what's interesting to look at, whenever you see a company take another company out, always look at the price they've paid, because that will give you some kind of idea of valuations in this sector. And you realize they paid about 8 million, it's in cash and shares, and they're going to EBIT. And it's a nice round figure. So an EBIT, this is basically operating profit close to, you know, pretty much over 800,000. So they're doing like 10 times.
10 times EBIT. That's decent. Yeah. Decent price.
A decent thing. Decent level, that. So you realise, when you're investing in stocks, I mean, people listening here, watching, think about that. You know, if you look at companies, when you see a company being acquired, always go and check out the valuation they're paying for a company, because that's what you should be looking at when you're investing as well in companies that are generating cash and generating money. Thinking, okay, how much am I paying for this company's earnings? And that's, you know, worth it. I'm talking about profitable companies now, not obviously pre-revenue or loss-making companies. It's very interesting there. But
presumably, as they allude to here, you know, synergies, old word, within a large group, they'll be able to accelerate that number fairly substantially.
Hang on, I'm on the wrong page there. What else is it? Oxford Creo Medical, what are they doing? Endoscopy device green lit in the US.
Yes, it's sort of surgical endoscopy, so it's removing sort of lesions that lead to bowel cancer. And this approach has basically been fast tracked. So last week it was Europe, this week it is the US. This thing, this speed, but basically, significantly more effective than invasive surgery. It's a huge market. You know, lots of people suffer from bowel cancer.
Speedboat inject. Oh, that makes my knees go weak.
Yeah, you don't want to think about it too much, but I mean, it's a 100 million plus market cap company. And sales are forecast to grow quite rapidly. There is a long way to go before that becomes profit, 2025. But it raised some money recently, oversubscribed placing, which is always good to see. Mm-hmm. These sort of approvals, these accelerated approvals, really help it. Are going to help that revenue profile. You know.
Yeah. Long way back up.
It does seem like
we are at the bottom here. I mean, literally, look at that, 18 pence, and it's double since then. But you see there, breaking that, level there, breaking new highs, and now it's in this sort of range, a higher range than the bottom. Yeah. So maybe the bottom's in.
I mean, it's on the follow, if you look, it's on the most followed list today.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, it's, you know, it's got a successful medical technology with massive market potential. And the cash to get there.
Yeah. Paul Begg, they're doing a meeting, investor meet there. Union Jack Hall, termination of agreement with Quattro, which is 7% down. But literally, this was a sale by United Oil and Gas of the UK Central North Sea license to, I don't know why they've pulled out, but I don't know what's happening there. So that obviously, that's down on disappointment there. Bidstack, change of registered address. Ooh, exciting. Prospects, is it, they took my development. I don't know why it's down here because. If you look at gas has been trying to rally of late. Natural gas, it's really trying to move.
Well, that's seasonal. Isn't it? That's it.
I mean, literally, if you look back, over the last couple of years, I mean, that was Ukraine, but I mean, almost always at the end of the year, like the spike there, at the end of the year, you get a spike in gas because, of course, more people start using gas and in the winter. And even here, like that was an excellent, I did a little bit of trade on that, but it broke that level a couple of times to try to hit it. But anyway, prospects. PX, yeah, I did say yesterday, if it breaks that 7 pence level, it's good to go. You see, it's banging its head on that quite a few times, but they do say that they are, producing now from two areas, Podemir, PM1, and in Spain and Italy. And they did say here that this gas price has increased recently from 0.32 to a current spot price of 5.353, and the forward curve to GF gas price is currently above 50 euros. Per megawatt hour, so to the end of Q1. So we are. I mean, that's been an extreme sell-off in natural gas. So you would think it'd revert to mean a little bit sooner or later. Did you see ASOS at all?
I had a look at those numbers. I mean, it wasn't just numbers. There was a whole strategic update here. There's a lot of work for this company to do. To get back to its heights, these shares were nearly 90 quid. A pop at one point, and now they're less than 3.5, less than 4. It's not just that the numbers were bad. I mean, the guidance range for the sort of revenue drop next year was wide. It's up 5 to 15%. So they've got. I mean, that says, and I'm sure this is what the market has seen, is that they've got no idea what their sales going to be next year, and nobody likes to see that. And more to the point, I think whilst that. That sort of level of depth in a statement is admirable about what they're going to do to turn this business around. It's also rather daunting, when you're an investor looking at it, thinking, my goodness, how much work has got to be done here. Yeah. And there's an admission they've still got too much stock. Although they're trying to work through it, it's a horrible statement.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the thing that could concern me is when, like I said, you are losing money. And you have net debt growing by 166%.
Oh, it's huge.
319 million. So I don't know if people understand what net debt is, but most companies would like to have net cash. But literally, they sold everything. But that amount, what's their market cap? It's like they are net
about
debt.
Just less than 500 million.
No, it's 353 got less than the shares on it. The net debt is close to the market cap. It's like that is a little bit worrying, especially if you can't service that debt,
Well, yeah, so that tells you that the actual people, the investors are valuing the business at, not a great deal, really. I mean, it's a tricky old spot that this company's now in.
Where were we a year ago? I've got a short term memory loss. Where were they a year ago? Let's look. So November, let's hit the year chart there. Well, a year ago, you were at 5.92.
Well, look where they were 5 years ago. I mean, that's really the comparison you want to make. I mean, it's...
Yeah, and you were at 56 quid.
And then look where they were, go back even further.
That's a month chart.
The drop has been precipitous.
Look at that. Yeah. I mean, that's always been the poster child for how much you can make on AIM. And in fact, it's almost as symbolic, isn't it, at the moment? Because AIM is in the doldrums, but that was always the one. I remember saying if you invested £1,000 in ASOS, you'd have £166,000 at the peak, which is like a heck of a return. And now, in fact, where did you list? In fact, they're below listing price. Maybe
that's unlikely. It was a tiny little
14
company.
Pence. Anyway,
as seen on screen, as it was one time.
Listing price. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a quick touch of that.
Just on the subject of ASOS. You know, it's unfortunate for the company that today you had numbers from Next, you know, which have seen, you know, full price sales up 4%, you know, very good stock management, increasing full year PBT guidance by 10%. You know, it's an absolutely astonishingly run company.
Do you remember,
see those results side by side is disastrous.
Yeah, and do you remember there's a while back where people are questioning sort of Next and thinking, well, will they exist? Because they've still got that old. It's all about how the business is run, isn't it? Because I mean, they had Next Directory for a while, and they're starting to be a bit slow on the online thing. They had Next Directory, and that was the thing they're going to rely on. But then saying that, I mean, you know, over the last, they're down from the highs of 84 quid. But at least they've jumped back up from COVID. Look at that, COVID. Looking back, COVID dash for cash. That was a buy in any stock, wasn't it? Look at that, 43 quid up to what now, £71. But it's a higher lows. It has broken down a little bit, but it's pounced above that. Look, sort of channel.
I mean, you know, ASOS might argue. I mean, there is an argument that online shopping has weakened. You know, since people are able to go out shopping again, but Next is growing online as well. So,
yeah.
I just think Roger Campbell, argument back in the box.
Yeah, sorry. Roger holds 21 stocks. I'm surprised more people have done less stocks than this. A lot of stocks you hold, guys. GB 58, including 6 trusts. Wow, that's a lot. Matthew, Justin, you say finding good companies is hard work, but you're more a trader than an investor anyway. I'm not more a trader than an investor. I mean, I've one of my stocks I've held for 3 years. I've had another stock for 3 years. I don't think you understand, Matthew. When a trend happens, it can last for years, okay? All I'm saying is avoid downtrends. I do not trade. I'm not a day trader. I look to become an investor, and that's it. Finding good companies is very hard work. And don't settle for mediocre companies. That's the problem. We tend to look at companies that are mediocre and say, oh, we can make a bit of money in this and get into it. No, but by the very definition, outstanding companies are very few and far between. And if you know, and so when you find one, you know. So anyway, I'm not a trader. Listen, call it what you want. It's only about term time, isn't it? It's about the length of period you hold a stock for. If a stock doesn't, if I get into a stock and it goes wrong, yeah, I'm going to get out. But I'll prepare to hold for years. You know, you've never found a winning stock, one that's compounded over many years. Your wins are hype wins. Matthew, listen, my returns have hammered yours, okay? So regardless of what you use...
How do you know that?
Move on.
No squabbling.
As Aim Bottom, I don't know. As Aim Bottom, I don't know, Ben. Unless I'm mistaken, have you got a winner you've held for 3 years? Yes, I just held... what's it called? XP Factory 3 years. So I held Palladium for over 3 years, and that tanked. I still got up on a profit in that, but yes. So tell me about your returns, Matthew. Have you done over 3,000% since 2009? And it was close to 5,000% before the foot fell off. That's 32% compound annual growth, by the way. Unless I'm mistaken. Matthew! Oh, he's got a Nicholson twist.
Right.
50, Simon, sorry, says 50 excluding funds. That's a lot, Simon. I hold them too. They are a bank with a fishing shop attached. That's what Ben says about Angling Direct. Oh, Ben liked Angling Direct when he asked you. He liked it. Magnus, I know you've looked before, but MCB seems to be on the move. What do you see in the chart, Justin? More to go or trouser profit?
McBride.
Maybe Mike Ashley will buy them. MCB.
MCB is McBride.
Do
we like McBride? I mean, yeah, we spoke about them the other day. You know, there's a shift in the market towards private label. We've seen that coming through in numbers from Unilever, Reckitt, those sort of companies. And you know, as I've said before, the oil price, is important to McBride, and that is less of a headwind at the moment. This company has had all sorts of missteps over the years. I think you could have a real good look at management here and see are they the ones that can finally get this business firing?
Yeah, well, it's a messy looking chart, but it's gapping up.
That's because it's had it's right, you know, it's right up and down over the years.
Look at this here. You see that previous support there? It's gapped up on results here on what? The 14th of July. It gapped up again on 18th of October. I'm sure the end results. So it's looking good. I mean, there is a bit of a resistance here at 43. If it can break that, you know, hopefully it'll go higher. But like I said, it's tried a couple of times to get above that.
So, yeah. I mean, the forecasts look good. You know, assuming it can hit them. And valuation is low because, you know, I think there have been so many problems over the years that there are few investors who have been prepared to give them the benefit of the doubt again. But you know, I mean, at that sort of price, you might actually say, whew, takeover target, going back to what we were talking about the other day.
Cheap as you like. So,
it's got to be a debt.
What's the 76 million market cap? Is it okay? Okay. Termination of upside sharing mechanism. What's that about?
No idea.
That's an unusual thing. So Oxford Metrics, Vianet. I don't know much about Vianet, but they've had some news out here. 19 million market cap, trading update, notice results. Sort of flat revenue, but what are they saying? Gross margins helped increase by 61%. What do they do? International
Internet of Things.
Data.
Internet of Things.
Okay.
You know, so it's basically connecting devices to the internet. And, you know, this is, I mean, we're seeing more of this stuff. You've got a few companies in this area, Crimson Tide, Cyanc, Node. It is a growth area. You know, Vianet's numbers looked good. And that's no surprise because, as I say, there's more and more of this stuff going, being rolled out every day.
Okay, that's a chart has been rolling over there a little bit. Is there anything else on the old front page? I did look at this. Not a lot of rising on news, hardly any. Next is up. There's no news on it. I suppose while they're falling, Aston Martin's falling on a bit of Q3 quarter results.
Well, Vianet was up 7%, rising on some decent numbers, but yeah, more fallers on bad news today.
AML. And in fact, did you see? Look at the look at that. Like I said, it IPO'd. They're 44 quid. It's had, in fact, it's trying to break this sort of support resistance here, but it's not getting there. Two quid from 44 quid to 2 quid. Nice cars, though. Do you like the look of Aston Martins? Do you?
I'm not really a car type person, but I have one and it gets me around, but that's about as far as I would go. But Aston Martin, it should never come to market. I think this company's been in trouble with the banks more times than I've had hot dinners. So for it to come to market when it did, at the valuation it did, was an accident waiting to happen.
And
it did happen.
Gregory, more folk go fishing than go to watch football games. Yep. Ben, again, you could use a fishing rod to pick your stocks. Simon says,
I use a dartboard instead.
I can keep track of a large number, 2 to 3 hours a day. Dagger, spread your risk over different sectors. Absolutely. Optimal for me is about 100, including trusts and property companies. Need to simplify. But how do you make money with that amount of stocks? How can you make any headway? Of the seven funds, Michael says, they're geographic specific, with no crossovers. One in the UK, one in the US, one in Asia, one in Japan. Renewables.
There you go. You got your allocations there. That's the way to do it. Because what goes up in 1 year, it might not go up the next year. And Japan might perform 1 year. The UK might be the one the next. And, you don't want to be in the UK funds at the moment. But next year, the UK might be the leading market. It would seem that way. I mean, reversion is a powerful force.
Blimey, Justin, you do realize you're creating more sellers with your comments. What do you mean by whittling down your portfolios? No, I don't mean now. I mean, it'll be a better time to sell that than now, of course. Gregory, JP Morgan Indian Investment Trust is my main investment. I've then got Destiny and OBD as my fund shares. Think about buying Giga Counter.
Nice. Yellowcake has the numbers out earlier this week, actually.
Oh, okay. I think government needs to incentivize people to invest in UK businesses. I think that. Well, I think literally ISAs should be for UK businesses only, and they should up the limit on that. Why don't they stop doing that? Inflation goes up. Literally now, the ISA limit hasn't gone up since 2017.
That's called fiscal drag, and it's deliberate.
Yeah. And so people haven't been able to invest more. So, you know, if they do that for UK companies only, I think it would help. Creo have received, says David, FDA approval for their latest ultra slim device and have indicated EU will follow in early 2024, 18 months early. The SP has done nada. There's no longer a market to sleep. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. It's really interesting looking. Really interesting looking company. Yeah, with sure. With what looks like fantastic technology.
Yeah. Oh, so I did say. By the way, I chatted to aftermarket sort of close there. I chatted to Neil from it is amazing. I know he came on as a quarterly report. I did say actually, because you know, if you do listed. You have to do quarterlies, don't you, in the ASX and in Canada, actually, there's quarterlies. I said, and if you look at the amount of detail of work that goes into that, it must be hard work for small companies, just, you know, sucking resources out of a company just every quarter to update the market. I mean, you don't need to do that as a small company. But anyway, they did a quarterly report, and it is amazing how much they've achieved in the quarter, you know, and post-period. And yet the share price, like you said yesterday, is not doing anything. Think, what's going on here? It's nuts, isn't it? But now at this kind of support level, it went up. And that's the market. People are just, risk averse. They get a little bit of profit. They take the profit and run. They think, hang on a sec. It's de-risked massively, isn't it? Most part of the funding's there. The government's on board. The lithium market's good. And in fact, they did say one thing, maybe the lithium price is coming off a bit. But still, it's way above where we put, you know, the cost price in at $1,500. So it's way above that. So it's very compelling.
Electric vehicles, there have been signs of softening demand. I think Tesla, I haven't looked at Tesla's share price, but I did read.
That, oh, yeah, I saw that. It was really coming off.
Really coming off because there's very serious worries about electric car demand.
Look at that. Down there, it bounced nicely off here. It's back down. It's almost breaking this little level where it's, previous lower highs.
It's
sub $200 a share.
Lost a third of its value in, the best part of 6 months.
He's reducing the prices all the time, isn't he? Reducing the prices of cars all the time.
Well, that's because he's got to stimulate demand. I tell you, worries about EV demand are somewhat short-termist. This is where everything is going. Despite worries around them catching fire in airport car parks.
Okay, quickly, so let's look at some macro news that we did sort of cover house prices. Not, we come up today, very surprising. See, house prices rose in October. Yeah. It rose a little bit, then a 0.9% rise. And they're saying this is largely down to lack of supply.
Mm.
And, but it's still a weak market. Extreme impact. They said the market is extremely weak. So it's not bad. But look at this. This is a UK factory struggling in October. This is latest PMI. You know, Purchasing Managers Index, of course, above 50 shows, expansion. And look at this. It now hasn't been the PM of the manufacturing sector in the UK hasn't been in expansion territory since July 2022, which is quite worrying. It's not so worrying that the fact is, it's still bad, but we are largely a service sector economy. But the figures will be coming up from that.
Yeah.
I think we're 80% service. But even so, that is in contraction. That shows towards, recession. The Bank of England will be looking at that, those kind of data, and saying, that's a little bit worrying. Slowing down.
Mm.
And
just in terms of business activity, I don't know what everyone in this shared office is doing, but it's busy as hell.
Is it? Well, look at that, yeah. John. This one.
That's why I'm sitting on a sofa in a corridor.
This one's for you. Look, WeWork, right? They're going to file for bankruptcy. Did you see the documentary on that? WeWork.
No, I haven't seen that. No.
It was very good. Adam Newman, is it? I think.
Yeah, that's him.
Really, one of these guys, quite charismatic, can sell anything, And he sold WeWork so well, but yet, and people were so almost, blinded by his charisma and his enthusiasm. They didn't look at the numbers. When they went to list on the New York Stock Exchange, of course, when you go to list, everyone goes through all your books, auditors and all that stuff, and literally there's some gaping holes there. But they're going to file for bankruptcy. They were valued at $47 billion.
I mean, we've been
90%.
Yeah, well, we've been sort of traipsing around looking at various office, shared office spaces in London, so we can get together more often, because I think there is an argument that is a better way to improve productivity, and we've got lots of things we want to do to get the site, particularly on a website, mm-hmm. out of box website. But WeWork offers free beer, Yeah. And quite frankly, we couldn't understand how to make a single penny out of us. It would cost them a fortune.
That's why they're going bankrupt.
So we're actually in a company called Spaces, which is part of IWG, which is listed on the UK. So it's actually old Regis.
Well, Regis. Okay, yeah. Just a quick look at the WeWork share. That was $400 a share. Now down to $2 a share. It's going bankrupt. So what is it? What's the ticker?
IWG.
What's it like there? Is it any good?
It's nice, yeah. No, it's busy, like I say. I mean, there's only so many desks you can squeeze into a space like this, but it does the job. And like I say, there's a lot of people here, a lot of rooms, fully booked. So I wouldn't buy the shares on the basis of my observation of one Spaces office in London, but it's the start of my scuttlebutt journey. I think maybe there is a recovery coming. In the office market.
Yeah. Well, you get the stage where it's like any market, isn't it? They'll have to be offering really, incentives. And then, and it gets to the stage where you think, that's a bargain. I can't miss out on that. Yeah. And then people start buying again. And that's largely where the UK market is, I think. It's such, so many undervalued stocks for me. It takes just a change in sentiment a bit. But there we are. Ben says, why risk money on microcaps when Lloyds are trading on a PE of 5 and a yield of 8? Well, why? Because I want ideally multiples of my initial return over a couple of years. I don't want,
Depends what you are. It depends where you are in your investing journey. It depends, what bit of your portfolio. Is it your fund money? Is it your core? There's all sorts of reasons why you should or shouldn't hold specific types of shares.
Yeah, exactly. Cool stuff. Yes, the government needs to incentivize. And okay, that's it. Thank you very much for watching, everyone. And a big day tomorrow. We'll come on about 1:02:12 tomorrow, because the Bank of England come out, and hopefully no news be good news, because hopefully they're not going to raise the interest rate a little bit, and that will signify we're at the peak, and maybe next year we're going to be coming down that hill. What do they call it? Sugarloaf Mountain. No, what is it called?
I thought you were talking about mountain. Singing Kate Bush.
Tabletop Mountain. Yeah. Going down that hill. No, Tabletop Mountain there, they've likened it to, haven't they? Where it's got up for long, the stop and down. But when we see the other side, the downside of Tabletop Mountain. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button if you can. If you haven't done it, I much appreciate that. And like and share if you could. And if you're not using the Vox Markets app, give it a try. Let me know what you think about it, because I think you'll like it. Thank you very much. Speaky tomorrow. Bye 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 bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.